and welcome to the Off the Charts Football Podcast. I'm Mark Simon, joined today by SIS VP Football, Matt Manajarian. Hey, Matt.
What's going on, Mark? Are you pumped or what?
Not as pumped as you. What are you so pumped about, Matt?
I am pumped about the new NFL Draft website that we have coming out. It is in its final stages. It should be released at some point in the next few days. And I couldn't be more excited about kind of sharing this stuff with the world.
So with all that hype, we'll get to it in a few minutes. But first, I wanted to talk about some of the news of the day. And we'll talk in a few minutes about players who got high draft ratings from us. We'll talk more about the website. But first, let's do a lightning round catch-up of some NFL news. Top story, Tyreek Hill traded to the Dolphins. A 1, a 2, and a 4 this year. A 4 and a 6 next year. He gets a 4-year, $120 million contract. How should we look at this deal?
Well, there are a few things going on here, but I'll try to keep it lightning. Reality here is that this is a 3-year, $72 million guarantee with basically two option years, one for $23 million and then another one for $42 million at an end. So not quite the giant-sized deal that they make it sound like by adding that $42 million basic team option to the end of the contract, but definitely a lot of money being committed, definitely a lot of draft capital being committed by the Dolphins. But now you look, they've got two of the fastest players in the NFL at wide receiver for them. It's do or die for Tua this year. You know, all the talk about Teddy Bridgewater is going to get started up. And then the Chiefs are really going to have to figure out how they're going to make their offense work without the cheetah.
I had to scroll to see him in the leaderboard for total points. And I was surprised that I had to do that. I thought he would be at the very, very top. And he wasn't. Is he still super elite?
Yeah, he's an elite player. A lot of what he does is taking the top off the defense and creating, you know, shape of the defense, all the cover two that teams had to play when they played against the Chiefs last year and the way that theoretically opens things up underneath. So that'll be something difficult to replace. The other thing that we should mention just on the Tyreek Hill conversation is that there is an off-field personal conduct history there that with all the talk right now about Deshaun Watson, it's not lost on me that there are really two players that are getting giant guaranteed contracts that we probably should feel less than great about.
Sticking with the lightning round theme, Devontae Adams to the Raiders. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, reunited with Derek Carr, I think that's a big part of this one. We have to see what it's going to be in terms of who's Aaron Rodgers going to be without Devontae Adams at this point in his career, who's Devontae Adams going to be without Aaron Rodgers. But we have seen Carr and Devontae do a whole lot. It was a long time ago when it was in college. I think what's really interesting about this is that this deal set the market for wide receivers, which ended up putting pressure on the Chiefs because Tyreek Hill wanted that new money. So interesting kind of interdivision thing going on there.
See how that works out for the Raiders. And then the Colts, they get Matt Ryan. He's old. He used to be good. Is he still good?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Matt Ryan has the ability to be a good quarterback in the league at this point in his career. He's not as good as he was, obviously, earlier in his career, but this is the Falcons officially turning the page. And I think that they sent him somewhere where they were kind of taking care of Matt Ryan. They wanted to make sure that they were treating him the right way. And, you know, not great compensation from the Colts for the Falcons, but, you know, they moved on. And I think that they're officially moving into their next era. From the Colts perspective, you like that it's limited compensation. You like that they go from a gaping hole at the position to somebody that can help them compete in kind of win now mode. And they won't be forced to go with a totally unprepared quarterback. Maybe they bring in somebody through the draft or something like that, but they don't have to throw that guy into the fire right away. So I think it really helps on a lot of levels there.
Is he a win with?
He certainly was a win with quarterback earlier in his career. I still think he can be that. Yes.
That's our lightning round news roundup. A couple of other podcasts that you might want to check out. Playing in Space, our NBA focused podcast, hosted by SIS basketball strategy analyst Henry Ward. The show covers the association through conversations on league-wide trends through a philosophical lens driven by insights derived from SIS's NBA data. From discussions of players and team performance to basketball decision-making theory, Playing in Space has you covered. And also check out the SIS Baseball podcast, where we interview current players and coaches about what goes into defensive excellence. We also regularly talk with prominent media members about the latest baseball news. So check out our podcasts wherever you get them. Let's talk NFL Draft website. First of all, very simple question. We've talked about it a little bit on past shows, but what is it?
Yeah, so this is a replacement for our Football Rookie Handbook, which we had three editions of. And I know there are a lot of people that have been reaching out saying that they want the physical book copy. But this is our first kind of new front end since we rebranded at SIS and we invested heavily in new technology. And this website's just going to be awesome. It's got all the real NFL scouting reports that we put in the handbook the last few years. We'll have over 300 players in there. and we'll keep adding players up until the draft to make sure that we're rounding out everybody. We've got real NFL scouting reports where we're breaking down the same things that NFL teams are looking at when they're looking at these players. We've got cutting-edge SIS analytics, and it's all really beautiful the way that that front-end team has put that together and made that fit onto the site. We've got positional rankings and leaderboards, so you can look at in any different way at the different stat leaderboards, at the different scouting report rankings. You can look at the NFL team pages with SIS Sonar, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And even though I am so far in favor of the horizontal board, not just the vertical board where you stack guys from top to bottom, but also horizontally across positions, for the people, we have the first ever SIS Top 100 big board. So lots of awesome stuff is going to be on this site.
That's big, very big, certainly for us and for fans of the NFL draft. So can you describe the philosophy behind the grades that we're going to have for each player? We know that it's based on your experience with NFL teams, but what does that entail?
Yeah, quick refresher on what goes into the scouting philosophy here at SIS. So like you said, based on the NFL, we do what's called role-based grading. This really came out of the Patriots way, this idea of role-based grading, where instead of saying, I have this magic ability to say that this running back should be a fourth round pick and that this outside linebacker should be a sixth round pick and just that means something that you're in that round. Instead, what we say is, what is this guy going to be on our team? Is he going to be a starting two down player? Is he going to be a backup who can play on all three downs? Is he going to have positional versatility? Is he only going to be an outside wide receiver or only a nickel? All of that stuff goes into what the player is going to be, along with how good the player is. And that's our role-based grading system. So we grade players into these roles, and you end up with tiers across positions, right? So the grade tiers, you'll have a 7.0 or above. Those are our blue chippers. Those are our top end. Come into the league as starters, and they're quick to be all pros. You've got the 6.7 to 6.9 graded players. The 67 to 69 range is where you have your strong starters. These are the guys that make up a Super Bowl roster, the core of the team. You got your 65 to 66 range. That's going to be your kind of situational starters at most positions. And then down for the low sixes, 6.2 to 6.4, you're talking about kind of role players on your team. And then below that 6.0 line, when you get into the 5 point whatevers, now we're starting to talk about backups. So you get those grade tiers across all positions. You get the vertical and horizontal board within that philosophy, where we don't believe in a need-based grading, but we do believe that you can compare kind of evenly graded players across positions. And then, of course, when you break down each overall grade, we have trait grades for each position. So when we're talking about trait grades, we're talking about three critical factors for each position, the things that we can't live without, and then anywhere from 10 to 15 positional factors that'll go into each position. And these are the traits, not just the stats that we have, but also the traits that actually make up what we're looking for in NFL players at these positions.
And if we go back to the last couple of episodes, Nathan Cooper, John Todd, Ben Herkoch, and Jeff Dean, you can hear more about that. You can hear more about how they went about grading players. And we had specific examples in there where they picked apart a guy and we walked through the different traits and we analyzed how good those guys were in particular areas. Three guys that we didn't talk about in those conversations, we're going to talk about here. We've got three guys graded 7.0. So who are the top players in this year's draft?
We have those three blue chip grades, right? That 7.0 or higher. We don't have anybody that actually went above that 7.0 range as we have had in years past. But right at that level, those are really the same grade. So in my eyes, they're all the top player in the draft. But for the sake of content, I'll give you them in reverse order of where they will be in our big board top 100. So first off, at number three, we have Kyle Hamilton, the safety from Notre Dame. Nathan Cooper was our primary scout on him. And when you talk about a safety where you hear that just no holes in the guy's game whatsoever, this was really a strong player, just absolutely across the board. So number one thing that we talk about the strengths and the weaknesses. Number one strength for Kyle Hamilton is range. Range is the thing that kept coming up across the board. You see it in there, innate ball skills, rangy playmaker, and impacts all three levels of the field. Those are the three things that Coop picked out that make him stand out. We know this guy's 6'4", right? This is a very literally a long player. He has range in that sense, but also very good play speed to go along with that. And I think that's what really sets him apart. He's not just this big guy who's a big stiff. He can really run like a smaller safety can, and that's kind of what makes him special.
So you have him as the number three. Safeties aren't typically top three draft guys, right?
Right, absolutely. So the way the grading scale works is when you have that 7.0 or above grade on somebody, that puts you into this top tier, right? When we're talking about blue chip players, we're talking about blue chip players. So it is rare that you have safeties elevate like that. It's not every year where we're talking about, you know, safeties on this level. But this player, I mean, we're talking about somebody who's, like I said, 6'4". He can run and he can do everything. So for Notre Dame, he plays both man and zone. And this is all in Coop's report. He can play in both one and two high schemes. He can play both deep. He's great on the back end, right? For a guy his size, his ability to play on the back end and cover ground back there, it's unbelievable. And then he also obviously excels at the line of scrimmage. In man coverage, he's got this unique athletic ability and frame to cover both tight ends and backs. In man-to-man coverage, he can even cover some slots. He's strong in run defense. So all of these things that Coop gets into in the report, these are all reasons why he really separates himself. This is a special safety. I mean, you have special players. Nobody's ever going to say Troy Polamalu wasn't valuable, right? I'm not saying that this guy's Troy Polamalu. In fact, he's a very different player from Troy Polamalu. But in the modern NFL, where you're looking for these chess pieces, these guys that can come in and can defend these sort of unicorn players on offense, this is everything that you look for. And he's got the versatility to be a completely positionless defender. There's a lot to like with this guy. And that's why you have a safety who's in that mix in our top three big board. We're not saying you have to draft him number one, number two, or number three. We're just saying he's in that top tier in terms of when we're trying to project out what this player is going to be.
In terms of safety, is the last to even go in the top six was Jamal Adams in 2017. Corners Jeff Okuda went three in 2020. What about the critical factors for him?
I was going to say, you know, if you can draft a Jamal Adams and then unpackage Jamal Adams and trade him for, what, two first-round picks and whatever the Jets got in return for him, that ended up being a good one for them in a weird way. Critical factors for the safety. So we want guys that have three-level impact. You need to be able to impact the field both on the back end, in the kind of the intermediate range where you're covering in man and the short zone, and then also around the line of scrimmage. He's got a seven, a very good grade for three-level impact. As we talked about the past couple of weeks, you want to be a six or better in each of these factors, right? A six is good. A six means you're winning most NFL battles. He's at a seven for that three-level impact. So that's a real special skill of his. The second critical factor, football intelligence and instincts. We've got him at a six there. Coop thought he has a good job with intelligence. Doesn't stand out in this regard relative to his three-level impact, but definitely a good skill, not anything that's lacking in his game. And then the third critical factor, play speed, also a seven in that very good range. We're talking about a big dude that can run here. And for all of the stuff that we talk about with the intangibles and the positional factors, at the end of the day, when you've got a guy that has this body that can run and play with the athleticism that he does, and he puts it together on the field, that's why we're talking about a blue chip player.
All right, we talk scouting. What about the analytics? Are there any stats that stand out when it comes to Kyle Hamilton?
Yeah, one of my favorite ones that we've had for a couple of years here, we call it ATD plus. That's adjusted tackle depth plus. And you like this one, Mark, because it's on the plus scale, like a lot of baseball stats are, where 100 is average, above 100 is what percent better than that you are, below 100 is what percent worse than that you are. He's got the adjusted tackle depth plus over 23% above average here. So that means that compared to where we would expect him to make tackles based on his alignment and all the factors that go into the plays that he's making plays over 20% closer to the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage compared to what we would expect. So that just goes to show you that this guy is not just making plays. He's not just racking up tackles 8 yards downfield. He's bringing guys down in the backfield at the line of scrimmage and making some really impactful plays for the defense.
Sounds like a mega star. Who's number two?
Number two player on the big board is Evan Neal out of Alabama. 6074, 337 verified. What does that mean? 6074, 337 verified.
He's huge.
He's 6'7.5", Mark. He's a big dude. He's 337. And this guy's just in his third year in college, right? He's played 3 years for Alabama, lines up at left tackle after being a right tackle his second season and playing at left guard in his first season. This guy is just absolutely a ridiculous human being. Just
in a good way.
Oh, man, like the best kind of freak that you can have on a football field. I talked about how big he is. It makes you think of guys like Orlando Brown, like some of these really huge offensive tackles in the NFL. But he's also got the dancing bear feet that John Todd likes to talk about. I speak so passionately about him because I was the primary scouting report on Evan Neal. So I got to really analyze him in great detail. And you just don't see guys that have this much size and this much athletic ability. He's just absolutely rare in that regard. He's young and he's still got room to grow. I wouldn't go so far. You know, I did teeter on the line between 7.0 and 6.9 because he's not quite ready made yet. Like there's going to be some growing pains as he gets into the NFL. And so I don't want people to get overly excited, but the upside's Jonathan Ogden. The upside is just that sort of ridiculous with the frame that this guy has, the athleticism and flexibility. The traits are downright rare.
Tackles to go 1, 2, or 3 in the last bunch of years. Greg Robinson, 2014 with the Rams. Eric Fisher, 2013 with the Chiefs.
Solid.
Luke Jokel, 2013 with the Jaguars.
Not liking the track record here.
And 2009, Jason Smith with the Rams. When you want to talk guys that were pretty good, Jake Long, 2008 with the Dolphins, is the last one to go top two. That he's a four-time Pro Bowler. There's more there. And then Joe Thomas, the year before that, went number 3 to the Browns.
There you go. So I think you just gave some good anecdotal evidence to the, like, don't pick offensive lineman high crowd there. Because even when you talk about Jake Long, he was picked over Matt Ryan, right? So,
but hang on. But you just said that he's like this freak. He's this mega star.
Yeah, that's not me. I'm not listening to that anecdotal evidence. This guy's absolutely awesome. Okay. And there are plenty of impactful offensive linemen in the NFL. I don't think that's a reason not to draft him high. He's played in 40 games. I said he's a young player, but he's played in 40 games over the 3-year career. He's doing this at Alabama. He's playing against the highest quality of competition. I mentioned that he's got the rare athleticism. What he does really well in pass protection is when he gets his hand on you. He just has that ability, right? He's got the long arms. He works to get that inside hand placement. And when he gets his hands on you quickly, it's over. You can forget about it. It's just not happening. Against the edge rush, because he's so big and he takes up so much ground, he really forces edge rushers to take a really wide path around them. And oftentimes, because he's so big and powerful, he can just ride them out behind the quarterback. So he doesn't struggle with that stuff too much. When he does get into trouble in the pass game, it's when people can get under his pads. When he misses with that initial punch on the initial hand use and players can get under him a little bit, then you start to see a little bit, the anchor will start to struggle some and he'll start to give up ground a little bit towards the quarterback. So something to be worked on there, but something that I'm not remotely worried about, because you hear us talk about ankle bend all the time here at SIS. It's one of our favorite little scouting things that we're into. This guy has all kinds of lower body flexibility. So I don't see that as being something that's going to be a persistent problem for him, is kind of like the lack of anchor. I think once he gets, you know, a little bit more years under him and he gets a little bit more comfortable with that sort of stuff, I think that, like I said, the upside with this guy is absolutely ridiculous. It's as good as can be.
And what about in the run game?
In the run game, he does a great job too. So they do a lot of RPO stuff, and he's constantly just riding guys on the RPO to the point where he's dangerously downfield when they're still trying to pass the ball. He's got the ability to move people in the run game. He can play left tackle, right tackle. He can play guard just as well, but I think you'd be wasting him there. I think this guy is a blindside protector on the next level. Again, I said some inconsistency in his game right now. If anything, sometimes he'll get his weight too far out in front. It'll allow himself to kind of end up on the ground at times, which you don't want to see from your offensive tackle. But, you know, going back to it, it's the traits with this guy. He's got the versatility to fit into any scheme. And then when you kind of look at it and you cross-reference the stats on him too, Charles Cross, another guy at offensive tackle who has phenomenal stats based on everything that we're looking at, Evan Neal has the stats that kind of match up with his play. And that's a rare thing that you'll find too in this NFL draft website, is the ability to find real stats on offensive linemen that help explain how impactful they were, how they were impactful, and on and on.
And who's our number one? Shall we have a drum roll, please?
Our number one player on the SIS NFL draft website is Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan. Kayvon Thibodeau, he'll come in as one of our 6'9 graded players. We do have a bunch of people in that 6'7 to 6'9 range, so there'll be some solid starting talent in this year's draft. But Aiden Hutchinson really did separate himself. We have him as the number one ranked player at 6'6, 260. The strengths when you talk about this guy, it's the pass rush ability, it's the explosiveness, and it's the competitive toughness. This guy is going to come into the NFL. He fits everything you look for in a modern edge. Pass rush, athleticism, strength, hand use. He's a cornerstone defensive end for an NFL team. And our primary scout, Theo Fornacieri, as well as the rest of our scouting staff that did the cross checks on him, there was really agreement here that this was a player that across the board really didn't have many weaknesses in his game at all.
All right. What about his traits?
Yeah. So from a trait perspective, critical factors, pass rush ability is a 7. The first step explosion is also a 7, right? So both in the very good grade range. And it makes sense when we're talking about an impact pass rusher, a guy that we expect to come into the league and become a double digit sack guy. We gave him a little bit less. He's the 6 on the point of attack ability to set the edge, right? So that's what we're talking about more in the run game. How well do you set that edge? How sturdy are you there? We have him as a 6 in that regard, a good grade in that regard. So he's winning the majority of his battles, but it's that first step and it's that pass rush ability that really separates him, right? From a positional perspective, and this corresponds with some of the weaknesses too, his ability to bend is not elite, right? This isn't this sort of top-end, top athlete who's coming off the edge and shows the elite sort of ability to bend that corner and really come off the edge in that sense. I mean, he's also not somebody that we're going to be looking to drop back very often. He might do better in a 4-3 scheme. He can definitely play in a 3-4, but this is a guy that you want coming and playing downhill a little bit more. Not a lot of experience dropping back into coverage. Can probably do a little bit of that, you know, if he works on that. But again, what we're looking at this player for is that first step and that ability to get into the backfield.
He needs to be chasing the quarterback, basically.
Yep. He needs to be chasing the quarterback, and look no further than his 99 total points rating. Total points rating, one of my favorite stats that you'll see here. That takes total points, which we talk about enough, and it puts it on the scale of sort of the Madden ratings. So a 99 is the best total points rating that you can have, and he is that. He was that for Michigan, and we expect him to continue that sort of performance when he's on the NFL level.
Speaking of quarterbacks, who's our number one quarterback?
So it's looking like, and we're still in the process of settling things right now. The website will be live shortly, so it's looking like I feel pretty confident saying Malik Willis is going to end up being our top guy. And I would say the biggest reason for that is because of his upside. We don't have any quarterbacks this year that are going to come in above that 6.7 level grade range. We have a few guys that are in that next tier that are sort of circumstantial, could elevate to become starters, but we have reasons for concern there. And Malik Willis, it's really the upside that separates him. If you asked me a couple years ago, I would say this type of quarterback is very much not my type, somebody with inconsistent accuracy, inconsistent decision-making ability. But the arm talent is ridiculous. He's got unbelievable athleticism. You could flip on the Senior Bowl just for a couple of plays, whether it was at practice during the week or in the actual game. And it doesn't take long to see what type of an athlete that we're talking about here, both with arm talent and with his legs. But there are definite holes in his game and things that he'll need to develop. So we'll have to see if more of these quarterbacks come along where we sort of see that accuracy develop on the pro level, because he does have some athletic traits. So he sets himself apart in that regard. There are a couple guys that are right behind him. One guy that I've been studying a bit that I'm the primary on is Desmond Ridder. And I've actually been not totally enamored with him. A good athlete, a good leader. He's got incredible feel for the position. You talk about a player that I think could come in and be an NFL backup. Like I think of somebody that I was with in New Orleans, Chase Daniel, who was our backup there for a while and ended up having, you know, a 10 plus year NFL career, despite never really having that starting level ability. I think Ridner's maybe a little bit better than that. Maybe has a little bit more upside than Chase Daniel did. Certainly physically, he has a bit more upside. Chase Daniel was always vertically limited, as we like to say. But this is a player with good athleticism. He can run. He ran really fast at the combine, for example. But I think on the field, you're not talking about a Lamar Jackson or even a Malik Willis from a threat in the defense with his run type perspective. Great feel on the football field, but the arm talent just a step too far down to really think that he's going to elevate himself to become an ideal starter. I think he can be a win in spite of type starter. I think if you get everything going around him, you can sort of Dilfer your way to a Super Bowl there. I think he probably has a little bit more as a thrower than Jalen Hurts did coming out, but somewhere more in that range and not the athlete that Hurts is either, in my opinion. So I was a little bit cooler on him than I expected to be coming out. He's the guy that I can speak best on. For the rest of them, though, got to check out the website.
Let's talk about the website. What features on the site are you most excited about?
I'm most excited that it's a clickable website that looks awesome. It's not a heavy 700-pound book that you got to lug around anymore or figure out how to navigate on your phone. You can navigate it on your phone real easily. It's an awesome website where it's been optimized to be used that way. It's just more available is kind of the thing that I'm most excited about it. Like the fact that it's a website. So all that said, I'm just really excited. You type in sportsinfosolutions.com/NFL draft and it'll be right there for you. But in terms of the specific features on there, I think that the coolest thing that's been implemented is what we're calling SIS Sonar. So when you click on any NFL team page, we've had lots of really awesome stuff on there for years. We tell you not just how many wins did you have, but how many wins would you be expected to have based on SIS WAR. We tell you how good a decision-making team your team was in terms of matching the fourth down recommendations or not in terms of last season. We'll tell you things like the key additions from the offseason, the key departures this offseason. How was your draft last year? What do you like to do offensively in terms of personnel group, offensive identities? But the Sonar is this cool new interactive tool where you can basically view the starting depth for any team. And you can see orange is good, blue is bad. How good are we at each of these positions on the field, our starting 22? And then if you click on any of the positions in there, you can get a really specific total points per game rating for each of those players at the position to really understand the depth chart. So I'm not a proponent of need-based grading, but I am a proponent of understanding your roster and understanding where the holes are and where you need to get better. And the SIS Sonar depth chart is one of the cooler things that I think we've made at SIS in my time here. For sure, that is the most exciting feature for me.
Lots of colors, lots of stats, lots of scouting reports, lots of information, lots of content. What other kinds of content do we have to look forward to?
Content to look forward to. So along with everything we just mentioned, we will have the SIS R&D team, along with the ops staff, the injury staff, getting together to put together different articles that are going to come out along with the site. So you'll be able to see on the homepage of the site these different articles. Included amongst them, Alex Vigderman is doing a review of our scouting over the last 3 years. How have our scouting reports done in the football rookie handbook era? What have they been predictive of? What have they not been predictive of, etc.? He's also writing about pass rush stats. What are the most important stats for pass rushers? Because we've got some really cool ones, including pressures above expectation, which we've talked about here. So he's going to be talking about how to break down pass rushers from an analytical standpoint. Stephen Polacek will be writing about NFL teams and how they view draft capital. Usually when we see these things about draft capital, it's all about what your kind of sports reference approximate value is, AV, right? Well, turns out AV is not so good, especially for positions like offensive linemen. We have total points. Let's put it to use. Let's see how NFL teams value draft capital in terms of total points and how much we can expect a player drafted at number one, number 50, or number 300 to be worth in terms of draft capital. In addition to that, we've got plenty more. We've got injury stuff coming from not just John Veros, but our new injury analyst, James Rodriguez, who's joined John's team. We've got information on our scouting process, as we always like to be as transparent as possible with how we go about the scouting process. Nathan Cooper and John Todd will be putting together some work on that, as usual.
So one of the things, too, that we want to make sure of is that you can compare the very high-end players kind of side-by-side. So in addition to that, one thing that I'm going to work on in the next couple of days that will be up on the site in time is putting the one and the two guys for different positions side by side. So you can see how they grade out in the critical factors, how they grade out in the positional factors. So if you want to compare Malik Willis at our number two quarterback, you can do that. If you want to compare Hutchinson and our number two edge, you can do that. So we'll have all that up there as well. And with that, we wrap up this episode. Thanks, Matt.
Look out for the SIS NFL Draft website on sportsinfosolutions.com/NFL draft. It should be up at some point within the next few days. We will let you know. We will announce it on all of our social media and everywhere else. But in the meantime, you can keep pinging that address to see if anything's come up.
And with that, we wrap up this week's edition of the Off the Charts Football Podcast. Thank you for listening. Again, sportsinfosolutions.com/NFL draft. Check it out next week. For my co-host, Matt Minicharian, and our producer, Justin Stein, I'm Mark Simon. Thank you for joining us on the latest episode of the Off the Charts Football Podcast.